This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's a football Friday in the Steel City. You know, this is just like so exciting. I'm Austin Bechtold with you this morning as it is football eve for Steeler fans all across the country, all across the world, as the Steelers will be in action on Sunday at Acrisure Stadium against the San Francisco 49ers, the team that was in the NFC Championship game last season, a team that was undefeated with Brock Purdy until he went down in said NFC Championship game against the Philadelphia Eagles in what could have been a very competitive game, but ended up with Philadelphia steamrolling San Francisco due to injuries and San Francisco basically not having a quarterback, and the reason why the third quarterback rule is now in effect for an emergency quarterback. But it all began last night with the Detroit Lions and the Kansas City Chiefs. Now, me, as well as probably a lot of people, went into it saying that there is a very, very likely any chance that the Chiefs at home, even despite Travis Kelce, lose a game to the Detroit Lions. Because remember, it's the Detroit Lions. I know last year they went on a roll at the very end of the season. They did start 1-6. Dan Campbell, the year before that, went a very long time without winning his first game for the organization. And the biting kneecaps persona seemed like it was all a gimmick. Well, the Lions are not a gimmick. The Lions, I don't want to say they're for real in terms of a Super Bowl contender, but the Lions are a for real NFL team. They should not be taken lightly anymore. And the Lions have earned our respect. The Lions have earned my respect. To be able to go out there, it's not easy to go to Arrowhead. We know the success that Patrick Mahomes has early on in the season. He doesn't lose at home. I mean, he just doesn't. Especially in openers. I think it's the first opening matchup of the season that Patrick Mahomes has ever lost. First game of the year. To be able to do that and have the notion that, yeah, you are the Detroit Lions. And yeah, you have let people down before. And you typically, if there's high expectations, do you typically live up to them? And you could just tell from the get-go, the Lions were ready to play. They were ready to go. And a lot of credit has to be given to Dan Campbell and the offensive line of the Lions. I mean, that team is physical and will get after you at the point of attack on the offensive side of the ball as well as the defensive side of the ball. And honestly, it's just old school football. Smash mouth football. They want to run the ball first, play off of play action for Jared Goff, who, again, when Jared Goff was traded from the Rams to the Lions in the Matthew Stafford deal, it was kind of a throw-in. The Rams wanted to get that contract off the books. Sean McVay was tired of Jared Goff. Yeah, he has some limitations. He also did some good things. He got him to the Super Bowl. Matthew Stafford won the Super Bowl for the Rams, but still, Jared Goff did a lot of great things during at least the early portion of his career with the Rams and was traded over to the Lions. A couple picks were also exchanged. So you could see it as a win-win deal for both sides. I mean, man, the Lions with Jahmyr Gibbs, who was a pick that, you know, maybe went a little bit higher than people anticipated him to be, middle of the first round, where he probably was a back end of the first round, really second round type of running back. He played pretty well in his NFL debut. Smash mouth football type of guy. 7 carries, 42 yards, at a long of 18. Had the longest rush out of anybody who carried the football on either side. But Jared Goff, 22 of 35, 253 yards, a touchdown, no interceptions. He was sacked once. It was only a 3-yard loss. Is it far-fetched to say that Jared Goff was the best quarterback on the field yesterday? Probably. It doesn't help that on the other side, Patrick Mahomes, 21 of 39, over 200 yards, 2 touchdowns and an interception. He had fewer yards than Goff. Also had an interception, which Jared Goff did not have. Detroit ran for more yards. They threw for more yards. But that could have easily been avoided because the Kansas City Chiefs were exposed. Patrick Mahomes is great. He's fantastic. But this is not the Buffalo Bills that they faced off against. This is not the San Diego. This is not the San Diego / LA Chargers with Justin Herbert, who can exploit any type of defense. This is not the Cincinnati Bengals, who typically have the Chiefs number other than last year to get to the Super Bowl. This is the Lions with a much improved defense. I like Jack Campbell at middle linebacker. They have Cam Sutton, Brian Branch, a name that should be familiar to Steeler fans from Alabama. Somebody that was a target at 32 for the Steelers, maybe even at 17 before the Steelers traded up to get Broderick Jones at 14. He had a 50-yard interception back to the end zone, a pick six, third pick six of Mahomes' career. And also, part of it is the Lions receivers made big plays. Josh Reynolds, 4 catches for 80 yards. Amon-Ra St. Brown, the first touchdown of the season in the NFL. 6 catches, 71 yards. Sam Laporta, their tight end, 5 grabs for 39. Khalif Raymond had a 20-yard grab. And the Kansas City wide receivers, without Travis Kelce, look, to use a Mike Tomlin term, JV rather than varsity. They didn't even look JV. They were the freshman team out there. They were backups on the freshman team. Marquez Valdes-Scantling, 2 grabs for 48 yards. Justin Watson, 2 catches, 45 yards. Watson, a South Fayette native, South Fayette grad, won the Super Bowl last season. Noah Gray had 3 catches for 31 yards. Isaiah Pacheco, 4 catches, 31 yards. So who is not on that list? Well, Juju Smith-Schuster is no longer here, now in New England, nursing a little bit of injury problems and injury concerns. Sky Moore, who's a high draft pick, Shadyside Academy guy, whippy old guy, Sky Moore, Western Michigan, another guy who was potentially rumored to be going to the Steelers in the last season's draft. He didn't have a catch. Sky Moore did not have a grab. Kadarius Toney, he had 1 catch for 1 yard. I mean, those were supposed to be 2 of the biggest guys in this offense outside of Travis Kelce. And now, at the same time, when you look at it, this game can say a lot about the Detroit Lions and also say a lot about the Chiefs at the same time. I think it says more about the Lions than Kansas City, because you also have to factor in that Kelce did not play. And the expectation, as it was said in the NBC broadcast last night, is that Kelce, their Chiefs are optimistic that he will be able to give it a go coming up next week. So this could just be a 1-week absence for Kelce if the Chiefs played on Sunday instead of a short week on Thursday, because he was injured in practice on Tuesday. Maybe he would have been able to suit up, even if it was in a limited capacity. Having a Kelce on the team for the Chiefs, having Kelce out there, is clearly better than no Kelce. Mahomes didn't look right. He looked uncomfortable not having Kelce as his security blanket over in the middle of the field. Plus, the second season without Tyreek Hill, big play, explosive guy. But the difference between the Lions receivers, another difference compared to the Chiefs receivers, the Lions receivers made big plays in big moments. The Chiefs shriveled in them. Sky Moore, multiple drops, third down drops. Kadarius Toney had so many drops. It was awful. It was so bad that in the middle of the game, the PM team, fantasy team with Chris Muller, Andrew Filippone, and Donnie Football cut Kadarius Toney from their team. Malzi was saying how much he loves his fantasy team, the defending champions in our fantasy league, and yeah, they cut Kadarius Toney in the middle of the third quarter. Might have been the fourth, but regardless, in the middle of the game and you cut him. He had one grab for a yard. Sky Moore didn't have any catches. And it's not like they weren't targeted. I mean, they were trying to get the ball to both guys. Sky Moore had three targets. Kadarius Toney had five targets. Eight targets, and they combined for one catch. So this says more, really, about the lack of explosiveness and the lack of production, maybe the lack of proven commodities on the Chiefs than anything, especially without Kelce. If Kelce's not there, it's a completely different offense. It's a completely different team. Patrick Mahomes is, you know, he does alien-like things, but he's not an actual alien from a planet that you want to, a made-up planet. Planet Bling Blower, let's call it. Something made up with a weird name. Mahomes might act like he is somebody from a far, far away universe. But if guys can't catch the football, there's nothing he can do. He can't throw it and catch it and run with it at the exact same time. So I feel for Sky Moore being a whippy old guy. Two whippy old guys in that Chiefs receiving core, which is really cool. Both Super Bowl winners from last season. Sky Moore in his rookie year. But Kadarius Toney, man, it did not look good. If there would be any concern over the two, I saw some people pointing to Sky Moore you should be more concerned about. Kadarius Toney, just the thing that has stuck into my mind with Toney, there were concerns with him in the locker room with the Giants, and there were drops when he was a very high draft pick out of Florida, and they traded him away to the Chiefs during the season last year. But also Sky Moore, I mean, those are balls that he should catch. Balls that were right there that Mahomes put it on him. He just did not make the play. This is very alarming if you're a Chiefs fan. Because, yes, you're going to get Kelce back. Mahomes had a ball that was tipped. It was off the hands of Toney, right off of his hands. Really should have caught it. And it went into the hands of Brian Branch for a 50-yard pick six. That was part of how Detroit scored. Now, another critical moment of the game was fourth down for the Lions, fourth and two. They decided to go for it at the Kansas City 40-yard line. And instead of running the ball, Dan Campbell right away looked at his offense and yelled, go, as you can see on the NBC broadcast, panned right at Dan Campbell. And the Lions decided to throw for it, even though they have what could be a top five offensive line in football this year. David Montgomery and Jahmyr Gibbs. Gibbs, who they used a first-round pick on. Montgomery, they gave a pretty chunk of change to come over from the division rival Chicago Bears. They throw it. The ball gets batted down at the line on a play that maybe would not have even gone for a touchdown, gone for a first down. How about Brian Branch, the first Lions player with a pick six in his NFL start since 1967? Watching back the Chiefs and Lions game right now. The NFL Network's playing it. But back to the point at hand, the Lions didn't get it. The Chiefs got the ball back. And Mahomes had a chance to basically put this one on ice. Ball at Jerome 40, over 2 minutes left, all three timeouts, the 2-minute warning. All you need is a field goal. Typically, if that's what happens and you don't get a first down, if you're the Lions and you did get one, you need to get two first downs. One to continue to get the clock rolling, let the two-minute warning go by, and then the Chiefs timeouts, and then one more to just solidify everything. They didn't get it. The ball back into the hands of the wizard himself, Mahomes. And they didn't get it. They didn't do anything. Mahomes on a deep play to Kadarius Toney, who was absolutely wide open. You could stand him in the middle of the Arizona desert, in the middle of a place that has just, in the middle of Iowa, with cornfields surrounding him. No other defenders even close. And Kadarius Toney dropped the football. Another play that he should have made, a catch that he should have had. It would have gone for over a 20-yard gain, and it would have put Kansas City in great field position to win the game. So, drop made it 2nd and 10. Next play, holding penalty on the left tackle. Jones, who got a lot of penalties last year, protecting Tom Brady. And eventually, it got to 4th and 20. The Chiefs decide to go for it. And finally, and I mean finally, the referees decided to do something about Jawan Taylor, the right tackle for the Chiefs, who, if it was a running play, started on the line of scrimmage. If it was a passing play, I'm not kidding. Jawan Taylor would line up, the right tackle for the Chiefs, who's going up against Aiden Hutchinson, former number 2 overall pick from Michigan to the Lions last year. Fantastic player, now starting his 2nd year. He'd literally start about a yard and a half, maybe just a yard, off the line of scrimmage. That's illegal. He was basically standing further back, closer to Mahomes, so that he could start his pass blocking earlier and have a significant advantage against Aiden Hutchinson. NBC Rules analyst Terry McCauley spoke on it in the middle of the broadcast. That's how big of a concern that it was compared to everything else that was going on. And here is what Terry McCauley, the NBC rules analyst for NBC, had to say about it.
Is he legal or not?
Sure, Mike. To be on the line, his helmet has to break the waistline in the center. And to be honest, we've watched him the whole game. He's really not remotely close. And it's really putting the defensive end at a tremendous disadvantage when he can be that far back.
A tremendous disadvantage. Now, if you did not see the play at hand that I'm referring to, or not even just one play, multiple different instances where this was the case. Jawan Taylor, I mean, if NFL tackles are going to get away with this, everybody's going to try it. Like, some of these pictures, for example, I'm looking at one right now. Let's say the ball is placed at the 35-yard line, and that's where the center is snapping the ball. Okay, typically, the other linemen are going to be about a half yard off the ball, maybe at the 34 if they're moving, if the offense is moving right to left. If that's the case, Jones was standing at like literally the 33, the 32 and a half. And it was severely noticeable. Severely noticeable. Let's call it the 33, about 2 yards off the ball. And it made for something that just, A, was not right for the offense to be able to get away with, and two, for any opposing defense, how are you going to potentially try to stop that? Like, literally, he is so far back in the stance, and he's still getting an early jump because he's watching the football, and right away knows when the head knock comes from the center. He's starting. He's starting to rock back. He's already starting his move back to Mahomes in the pass protection. And it was so difficult to defend for the Lions that literally they got barely any pressure on that side. Well, 4th down and 20, it was finally called because it was just so blatant and obvious that Taylor moved even before the snap. It was about a second before the snap instead of like a half second before, which was not being called in the first place. They made it 4th and 25. The Chiefs, with 3 timeouts and the 2-minute warning, decide to go for it. And they don't get it. And Detroit gets 1 first down and runs out the clock. What a way to begin the NFL season. It's the greatest reality show in the country, in the world. The NFL is the greatest reality show on earth because you don't know what to expect. You think you do. And then whenever you think could happen, the opposite happens on any given Sunday or on NFL Kickoff Thursday. The Wake Up Show is presented by 84 Lumber. Put your positive attitude to work at 84 Lumber. Apply at 84lumber.com. Last night, James Franklin on his weekly radio show said something that makes you think that maybe the Pitt and Penn State rivalry will come back. Is that the interpretation that you had? I'll tell you what Franklin had to say. Coming up next, I'm Austin Bechtold on the FanDuel Morning Show.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.